guide, my guard, my friend. Lead me to my journey's end. Show me what I am to do. Every hour my strength renew. I would have your will, not mine, for it's perfect, good, and kind. Come, my soul, with every Himself bids you to pray and will never turn away. You are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such none can ask too much.
Amen. Thank you, Miriam. Brother Mike Maynor is an evangelist. He's a songwriter. Before he was saved and in ministry, he worked for Disney Entertaining, so he's kind of an entertainer too. I don't know if you have to be sort of a nut to be an evangelist, but it kind of, if the shoe fits, I guess. But anyway, we always appreciate Brother Maynor and the ministry he has to children as well as teens, and we're looking forward to having him with us this week. Brother Maynor. Pastor.
Well, one of the nice things about this COVID stuff is I don't have to shake the hands with pastors anymore. It just kind of bypasses that opportunity. No, I'm just kidding. I do appreciate that special. You know, I hear and see a lot of folks sing sacred specials, but you very rarely have someone that communicates that on their face as well as with their voice. And that's what you just witnessed here with that special. It was very blessed, very impacting, and just made you want to shout and say, God is so good. And I really appreciate that ministry to my heart today. You know, it's good to be here. Glad to be anywhere. Y'all with me? You know, it's a tough time on a lot of people, but evangelists, they go, who? Why? Now? No. But I, of course, most of my summer was canceled because of all this COVID stuff. And I go to this for the summer up at Northland Camp and Conference Center up in Wisconsin, way up in almost Canada, people. It's way up there. And, of course, we shut down like many camps had to. My grandson was doing a counselor and training type of thing at the Wilds. And that was the week that they got invaded with COVID and had to send him home. Of course, he never contracted that, thankfully. But even the big ones as well as the small ones, they've been very limited in their ministry opportunities. I'm thankful, Pastor, and you all have decided to go forward with the school. I think it needs to be done. The kids need that kind of impact, that kind of influence by these godly teachers. You know, I love being able to do a prayer dedication for these teachers, because these teachers around the globe here, as I do this kind of Christian school all stuff all the time, have become some of my nearest and dearest friends and co-laborers in Christ. And they're my heroes. They're in the trenches, and they're being a blessing to the local church, but also, parents, be happy, a very big blessing to your home as they look to complement and encourage what hopefully you're already teaching in that place that God's entrusted unto you. Well, pray for me this week. I was working under the house yesterday, so I'm a little raspy here. I don't know why. There's probably the crud underneath the house doing insulation, different things like that. I'm in a two-year process of building a house. Two years, okay? Slow like Uncle Joe at the Junction, if you remember that reference, okay? But as the money comes, as the talent arrives, and my son-in-law has time to do it, we're still trying to finish up that beautiful house that God has provided. So if you know anybody that lays tile, who wants to finish my siding, and who has about $100,000 send them my direction. Just kidding. No, I'm not. Okay, I'm not. No, I don't. We don't need that much. We're coming down to the end, thankfully. We've got some flooring done. We've got lighting up and all walls are painted. Just need to do some doors and stuff. But, you know, since I've been unemployed, folks, it's been Sweat Equity City. That's what's been happening as far as my part of doing the house. But I'm about this limited as far as my skill set's concerned. But just pray that we'll be patient. And again, it'll get done hopefully before Jesus returns. People ask me all the time, what's your goal, Brother Maynard, of going to the house? I said, before the Lord returns. And the way things are looking, folks, that could be this afternoon. Are you all with me? Or this morning before we even get. Now, in the midst of all this, you know, unemployment stuff, it's amazing how God still met our needs. I wasn't too far from here. I was just over in West Columbia at Grace Baptist Church most of the summer. They asked me to come up on Wednesday nights and do a vacation Bible school for the whole family, basically, every Wednesday night. And we'd have they'd do a skit, we'd do some choruses, I'd do my fun stuff and a chorus and teach the kids stuff, and then I'd preach a challenge on Wednesday night. It was a hoot and a holler. Of course, they don't have a senior pastor. Well, of course, they do now, but at that point, they didn't. And we just had a wild and crazy time together. And it was a good attendance and I think a good response, and God was exalted and honored. So I'm going to give you a little bit of that this morning as we have this challenge here and maybe even somewhat here tonight. Now, before I forget, and I'll keep rattling on because you know how much I like to talk. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and hearts. Let's ask God again to intervene on our behalf and just show himself in an obvious way to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful church. Thank you for Pastor and his faithfulness. Lord, I've been hooked to this crew for a lot of years, and I'm thankful for it. And now, Lord, to have another opportunity to come alongside these people and support their ministry is such a blessing to me, such an encouragement to my heart. And I'm thankful, Lord, that they've entrusted this responsibility to me. Lord, it's not normal. Things are a bit different, to say the least. But, Lord, I know you're going to be normal in the sense of your working in hearts. And, God, bringing conviction, challenge, and change to each student as well as to the teachers. So, Lord, here we are in the preparation time with the church family, getting prayed up, hopefully focused on the behalf of what you're doing today, but what takes place in this coming year. That, Lord, you'll let them know how important they are with their prayerful endeavors, even financial encouragement, to again help this school year to be very blessed. So, Lord, as we look into your word today as a local church, I pray, God, you'll feed us from on high. You'll awaken our brains and stir us up, because there's a whole lot of ministry to be done outside these walls. So, Lord, thank you again for this time. Just ask that you help us, Lord, to again focus, help us to be faithful, and then, Lord, respond in a way that's pleasing unto you. Thank you, Lord, again for this group here, but also those that are watching via Facebook or, again, by technology. God, minister to their hearts today and help them to be encouraged. So, again, Lord, save those that are lost. Help us believers to take another step of faithful, right choosing, and we'll rejoice in your work here today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I've got seven messages I did there at Grace Baptist. Believe me, I'm not going to do them all today, okay? I just want to give you a little peace of mind and heart. I'm just going to do six of them, okay? No, I'm not good. I'm hungry too, people. But, you know, the title of our challenge for the summer was Family Matters. Now, your mind may go to Urkel, okay, because there was a show called Family Matters, but it was just Family Matters because family matters. And we talked about different aspects of being a godly, God-honoring Christian family. You know, there's a word today being used a lot called matter. You know, this matters, that matters. It just, again, is set forth to describe or state who what is most important to that individual or that group. But in the midst of this very chaotic and turbulent time, we've got to have, again, our understanding to this direction. What matters to God is what should matter to us. Y'all listen to me. What matters to God is what matters to you and matters to you the most. You know, a lot of folks care what God says, but they still care more about themselves. You again have your agenda or your thing you do, but the things of God must never be superseded. They must never again be second place or any place else other than first place, because nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto our God. Can I help you with your family, with your own personal walk? If you can get that kind of thinking established in your mind and heart, it'll take you far down that path of righteousness to not just produce fruit, but much fruit for Jesus Christ. It's very simply, summarized in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Now, without question, families matter to the Lord. And things, as we know, only work right when we do things his way. Now, I've been a Fox News junkie for a while, like a lot of you. More of a conservative perspective and hopefully balanced perspective of what's going on in the world. But I heard a statement that just kind of made me step back and go, what? Really? Yeah, an unsaved commentator or guest as such was on Fox News giving their assessment of why things are such a mess. With all the riots and the upheaval and all the frustrations of life. And this person made this statement. It's because we're missing structured, strong, stable homes. I went, wow. Now, of course, what would we put on the forefront of those three words? A biblical, structured, strong, stable home, because we know we can't have a structured, strong, stable home apart from the principles and truths of the Word of God, empowered by the working of Almighty God. Now, matter has been a buzzword, but here's the other buzzwords that drive me bonkers. How about this? The new normal. Are you sick and tired of hearing that like I am? Well, I guess we've just got to do this because this is the new normal. Do you understand, folks? Change is okay. And it's really right to do most of the time. Unless you're 50 years old, then it scares you to death. But folks, change is good as long as it does not change our perspective and faithfulness to that which brings glory and honor to God. Would you amen me on that? Change is good, folks. Every day you should be changed. You should be more like Jesus. You should be doing more for Jesus. You should again be a better testimony to hopefully bring glory and honor to his name. Now, since the beginning of time, the devil's tried to bring a new normal, hasn't he? Especially when it comes to the family structure or really anything that seeks to glorify and honor our God. But I'm going to do this as I start here. What is the normal as far as God's perspective directed toward the family? Let me do this as a reminder. Now, folks, hopefully you know this, but more hopefully you'll practice in this. First of all, that dad is the loving spiritual leader. Have we forgotten that? The world makes fun of that. The world around us, through our, media, through our entertainment factors, they're always putting dad down, making him look like some doofus brain. Y'all with me? And belittling the structure of the family, especially that which is called in God's order. And again, that's dad is to be the loving spiritual leader. Secondly, mom is the submissive spiritual helpmate. Now, girls, listen to me. I know your husband's not perfect. I know you just dream of having someone as near perfect as Pastor and myself. I know there's jealousy and maybe envy out there. Oh, how we evangelists stretch that kind of statement. But listen, folks, no man, no woman is perfect, but God is. And the reason we submit is because God orders it up, and that's the way it works right. And again, it's not some perfect guy that gals you have to bow down to and kiss their big toe. No, it's just, again, yielding to the order of God's order concerning the family structure. And whether you like it or not, mom is to be the submissive spiritual helpmate. And the kids love this one. Kids, are you listening? Kids, are you coloring? Are you, eating Cheerios and all that good stuff like children's doing churches all over the place? Children, obey your parents. Parents. Did you hear that, kids? Your mom's been preaching that to you. Well, actually, your dad was. When you were in mommy's tummy, your dad would, look at me, kids, look at me. Your dad was going, children, hey, wake up in there. Obey your parents. And they haven't stopped. But why do we do that? Because God says this is right. It's again the right choice, the right testimony, the right way to go forth in the life that's before you. Children, obey your parents. Now, why do we do this? Well, because we love the Lord and we want to please Him. So here's the key statement as we start this first installment of, again, Family Matters. What matters the most is what matters to God. Let's say it together. What matters most is what matters to God. Now, see, it's a little unfair that you may be wearing a mask because I can't see if your lips are moving or not, but I can for most of you, and that was a pathetic response. So I'm going to give you one more. Try not to spread too many slobbery germs there, but let's say it a little louder, okay? What matters most is what matters to God. And folks, it's so simple. But simply stated, it's the only right choice if you're going to have the type of family that God wants you to have. Now, I'm going into a message here, but I might park on something here as far as family's concerned, too. In the second message I did for them, and I don't think I'm going to do this while I'm here, it was around Father's Day, so give honor to whom honor's due. And I told the folks the two hardest jobs I know ever is being a dad and being a mom. And kids, you could make their job a lot easier if you just do what they say. If you just do it, not because mom and dad do everything right, no more than a husband or a wife, but because, again, God is looking to see if you're going to make the right choice. But dad, give them something worth following. You hear me? Give them some consistency. I had a friend of mine gave a listing. I'm going to do that here. I think we got enough time. I had a friend of mine gave a list in during this Father's Day season. He said, 7 fundamentals of being a good dad. He said, a good dad is one who is thoroughly saved and committed to Jesus Christ. I hope your kids don't have to guess whether or not you're truly a child of the King. Even as a grandpa, I hope they don't say, well, I think grandpa's a Christian. Boy, shouldn't that be the conversation that's first and foremost in everything when you truly know Jesus? Yeah, it's supposed to be. Secondly, a good dad is one who is faithful to the local church and honors the pastor. Do you realize how much that's not practiced, people? How in so many churches, and I'm not just talking about the liberal churches, how many churches, good churches, fundamental churches, where dad is following behind the leadership of a strong, godly woman. Guys, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Dad should be the pace setter. Well, dad's always working. Well, dad's got this activity and that activity. Remember, what matters most to you is what matters to God. And God expects all of us men to take leadership and be faithful to the local church. Being that Aaron and her arm lifting up part of a ministry of a godly man like your pastor. But boy, I tell you what, folks, it's long and far between to find truly biblical, God-honoring men. Number 3, a good dad is one who is separated from the world. You know, a lot of dads bloat when they try to be buddies to their children instead of spiritual leaders and examples. They don't need funky chicken dads, okay? They need groovy dudes, hip-hop happening. No, they need guys who are separated from the world and show the holiness of God through their life, but has fun with them in the midst. Don't be a nerd. Don't be a weirdo. Don't be out of whack one way or the other. I know your father is, okay? I understand, children. You have to deal with a very strange guitar-playing dad. I've known him for a lot of years, okay? But you know what, folks? He has fun with his kids. And I've not been around a guy for a long time that's as excited about he is. I just want to slap him half the time. You know, the guy just can't be that joyous in the Lord. I'm just teasing. All right, so here's another one. A good dad is one who is passionately in love with his children's mother. You know, don't be afraid to smooch on your wife in front of the kids. Matter of fact, embarrass the daylights out of them, okay? Just park one on her. Do a little, whoa, bring her down, come up again. Never stop dating your wife, guys. Never. Man, just keep the romance alive, well, and working. I heard we have a new romance in the ministry here. Yes, I heard it is just sizzle, sizzle, burn. I hope they can just keep their standards high before they say I do back This is going to be so fun this week to pick on you like nobody's business. All right, let me keep going. Right, I'm not even through my message yet. A good dad is dedicated to the overall being of his children. A good dad is dedicated to the overall being of his children. Number six, a good dad is a man of deep devotion. Deep devotion. And number seven, a good dad shows his children by example how to work. Work ethic, missing commodity today, wouldn't you say? You know, in the midst of building our house, my grandkids, my daughter has 9 children. Can I have an oh my from the crowd? Oh my. And the oldest one is 17 years old. He could have built the house by himself, I think. But I got kids doing all kinds of this, that, and the other, from the 8-year-old all the way up to the 17-year-old. And they know how to work. Now, they're like normal kids. They like to growl and complain half the time. But it doesn't keep them from having a good work. So, again, you lost me there for just a minute, brother. Now, I don't know some new folks here, so I'm going to give a little introduction here as far as our ministry. I've been in evangelism over 30 years, and for that, I was a church planter. I didn't get saved when I was 22, called to preach when I was 25, went off to Bible college at 26, so I got a late start. But as a pastor in church planting, I did what pastors do a whole bunch of. I did a lot of counseling. And in the midst of counseling concerning families and relationships, I found there was a consistency of a major big-time problem. And you know what that problem was and still is today? Communication. Biblically, communicating in relationships, folks, doesn't seem to be important to a lot of people, but things don't work unless you communicate in a biblical way. You want a good marriage? Biblical communication. You want a good relationship with anybody? Biblical communication. If I can help these new lovebirds back there in the back, you know what? They need to communicate biblically. They need to talk things through from God's perspective, not just what they think, feel, or personally want. Now, those things all come into the equation, but we got to make sure what matters most is what? Say it with me. What matters to God. And if we can, again, keep that in relationships, that'd be great. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to take long time for this. Ephesians chapter 4, and what's listed here are the what's been dubbed the four rules of communication. Because when I was a pastor in Portland, Indiana, that's on the Ohio side, they got Portland over here on the other side, 2 hours straight across is a place called Lafayette. Now, you may know Lafayette for Purdue University, the Boilermakers, but it's also known for the Nuthetic Counseling Center. That's just Biblical Counseling Center. And the guy that started that was a guy named Bill Good, along with a guy named Dr. Smith. And boy, they just put together some amazing materials on, again, how to live in a God-honoring fashion. Well, one of the most memorable set of instructions, you could say, were concerning the four rules of communication. How many of you have ever heard that before? Four rules of communication. Have you ever been taught that or known that? Yeah, incredible stuff. And I'm not doing it justice today because of time's sake, but I want to give those rules to you because you need them. Some of you dads are professional grunters. Do you know what I mean that? You know, you're just not a communicator. Shame on you. You know what? You want that relationship to be strong. You want to teach and, again, guide and communicate and fix things and fulfill things, folks. You need to talk to one another in a biblical fashion. Let me give you number one. I'll go slow enough so you can take notes real good this morning. And, folks, this is stuff that you need to take notes about so you can go back and review and make sure this is who and what you are. First of all, be honest. Isn't that a funny statement to say? You think Christians are liar, liars, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire, to share one of my songs there? Yeah, folks, by nature, in this old flesh, we're all just naturally liars. You know, pride gets in the way, you know, trying to cover ourselves from the dumb choices or things we choose to do or set forth. But folks, God says, be honest. Let me read Ephesians chapter 4 and look down with me at verse 25. It says, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The key word and thought here is speak. And folks, as it says earlier on in this passage, speak the truth in love. That's verse 15. Let me give you a couple of quotes I found. Honesty is not a license to be unkind. Let that sink in for a minute. Honesty is not a license to be unkind. He went on to say, any speech that hides or distorts the truth, exaggeration, embellishment, innuendo, or passive aggression, fuels conflict rather than resolving it. Now, you teachers will love this because you know how true this is. Teenagers can lie through their teeth without much effort, especially girls talking to girls. Let me give you an example. Here comes, let's just call her Susie or Zelda, whatever you want to call her. And she comes to school with a brand new outfit and it looks horrible. I mean, just looks like, really? But you know what the girls, oh, honey, you look so good. Oh man, is that just a, and she looks, it looks like she bought it at the tent and awning sale. Are y'all with me here? It just doesn't look good. But because we don't want to hurt them, we lie to them. Well, folks, we don't say, oh, that looks like, blah, 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 or, well, that looks stupid. No, we want to be kind kids with our choices and how we speak the truth. But we have a responsibility to speak the truth and speak the truth in love. I was told this at a very young time in my Christian life. When you're in conversation, you should always have the other person's best interest in mind. Kids, listen. When you're in conversation, no matter who you're talking to, you always have the other person's best interest in mind. And if you want what's best for those you're communicating with, you will speak the truth in love. Again, don't growl and grumble, Dad or Mom. Don't just say, oh, nothing. You know you're in trouble, don't you? No, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You need to speak and speak the truth in love. Let me give this second one here. Keep current. Look down at verses 26 and 27. Do you know these verses? Be angry and sin not. Some folks love the first part of this verse. It's their life verse. Be ye angry. And I'm not just talking about politicians. Are y'all with me? And aren't there a lot of angry people out there? They're just angry all the time. You ask them why and they really don't have a clue. But they just need Jesus. That's what I keep telling my grandkids. That's what I tell anybody who'll stop long enough to listen to what I have to say. You know, the reason everybody's such a mess, folks, because we either don't know Jesus or we don't know him well enough. You listen to me? You don't know him. You know about him, but you don't know him. And if you are saved because of our laziness, the interruptions of life, you don't know him to the depth and intimacy that God wants to be known. So be angry, but then look at the next part, sin not. And let me show you the rest. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, the devil wants to get a foothold in our lives any way he can. And folks, when you have, here it is, unresolved conflicts, then you're in a heap of trouble as far as further conversations are concerned, and I'll get to that in a moment. Now, have you ever done this? Look up here, folks. Here's a visual. Here's a visual. Here's husband and wife. And they're having one of those agree to disagree conversations, and they don't get it fixed that night. So what happens? He goes that way, she goes that way, and they don't fix what's broken. You know what? I've had some 2 to 3 in the morning discussions, and I wanted to make sure it was solved before the other problems that will come tomorrow will be up at the forefront. You hear me? So keep current. Don't, kids, you listening to me? You're ticked off at something your teacher said or something your mom and dad said or something the pastor said. How many church members and Christians, folks, are harboring this kind of unresolved conflict? They've been ticked off at the pastor since he became the pastor. Matter of fact, they didn't like him when he was a school administrator. It's been a long time, preacher. Yeah, you know what? Shame on you. You're not communicating biblically. Keep current. Deal with today's problems today because tomorrow we're going to have a whole bunch more to deal with. Now, what happens if we don't deal with the problems today? We develop what's called a stockpile of verbal weapons. You remember that? You know, well, you never, well, you said, but you, and you didn't get it fixed, so therefore the next time in a discussion where this really isn't relevant, you reach down to the stockpile and beat each other half to death. Isn't that the way a lot of people have so-called communication? Now, folks, you wouldn't have that ammo stockpile if you dealt biblically when problems occur. So emotionally, as well as in just obvious conversation, don't give the devil a foothold. Be angry, sin not. Hate the sin, look at me, but love the sinner. Isn't that a great statement? You know, hate the sin, but love the sinner. And again, when you're really communicating properly, you'll have that other person's best interest in mind. You won't do anything but help the situation, not stir it up more. That's where we get into this point. Number three, attack the problem and not the person. Attack the problem and not the person. Now, folks, let me read this verse for you and listen very carefully to this list. It says, now I circled this second word, and I encourage you to do this in your Bible, but most importantly in everything you say. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let me give you a good story. I've had a multitude of college kids that I've worked with in these camps for a zillion years of camping ministry. We had the assistant pastor's daughter up at Northland one summer, her and her best friend from the church where I staff evangelist, and she was a jabberjaw. Do y'all know what I mean by that? She never shut up. That's what I'm telling you. She'd talk. She probably even talked in her sleep. Who knows? But what happened, we went to church. They rode with us in our car, my wife and the two girls, and the guy preached on the tongue. And I tell you what, she got smote from on high. Do y'all know what I mean? Convicted? Because she knew she was a sinful communicator. Well, on the way home, I thought she fell out of the back seat. Are you people with me? I thought she fell out of the car because there was nothing coming from her. And I finally said, hey, are you okay? She said, oh, Pastor Mike, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, go ahead. She says, was he saying basically if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all? I said, well, that's a pretty good summary. She says, oh, Pastor Mike, I'll never be able to talk again. Victory in Jesus. That's revival there, people. I'm telling you right now. But how much conversation could you have if you weren't a gum bumper or a complainer or cutting people's legs out from underneath them with your so-called concerned spiritual depth? No, you're a pathetic communicator and you're unbiblical. And you don't have that other person's best interest in mind. You just want to bless them with your verbal presentation. What a sad and sorry marriage you must have. Or can I say you do have? Because you're not communicating biblically. I do this with kids all the time. Boys, kids, listen, Mr. Mayor, I always use this visual. I'm probably going to write a song about this sometime. Here's what we're supposed to do. Everybody get ready because I'm going to have you do this with me. You listening, girls? I'm here to build people up, not tear people down. Huh? Let's all do it together, okay, with Uncle Mike. Get your hands out and respect the authority that God's placed over you, okay? That always gets even the grumpiest guy. Okay, ready? We're here to build people up, not tear people down. Come on, act like you, preach it to me a little bit. Act like you mean it. Ready? We're here to build people up, not tear people down. So again, folks, attack the problem and not the person. And if you can't get that straight in your brain, boy, it's going to be a long marriage experience. But folks, there are a lot of problems that need to be dealt with and dealt with biblically. Here's the last one, and I'm going to be done pretty quick here. Act, don't react. Act, don't react. Now look at the verses that are so clear and again so convicting. There's another word to circle. It again is the second word. It's the word all. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with you when it fits your agenda, when it makes me feel better. No, folks, keep reading the scripture here. It says, be put away from you with all, even malice, folks, the wrong thinking that leads you to all those wrong choices. Let the meditation of your heart be on Jesus and how he would have you to respond. I don't even want to smack people. I do, okay? I get so stirred up and frustrated with the dullness of the world around me, folks. I've got to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking just be out. Life and conversation and practice of who and what I am as I represent Jesus Christ. And again, folks, we just need to be kind. That's what it deals with in verse 32. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you circle those words in your Bible? Be kind, be tenderhearted, and forgiving one another. Again, unresolved conflicts, there's no forgiveness working there. You haven't dealt with it biblically. You're not going where God wants you to go, and you're not going to end up where God wants you to end up. Things fit, stir, or a mess. No, folks, let's just be nice. I was going to do this tonight, but with the crowd here, I might not see you some of you tonight, so I'm going to teach you this little course. It goes like this. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover some people will be mean or weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Pretty good song, huh? Guess what? You get to do it with me. Get your hands up. Let's go. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover. Get the mean thing up, ready? Some people will be mean or weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Here's the verse. We all know that person who calls you ugly names, makes you want to fire back with even uglier names. Let us not react or go on the attack. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. I know you're just dying to do the course. Let's go. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover some people will be mean or weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Then there's you know who. Can you say that? Then there's you know who, you'll like this part, who's meaner than a snake. Can you all say that? Snake. Every time he comes around, get your hands like this. Your whole body shakes. Yeah. Don't go picking a fight. Look at me, kids, help me. Don't go picking a fight. Just choose to do what's right. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Last time. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover some people will be mean or weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, people. That's what God's teaching. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Y'all realize we deserve hell for all eternity? But God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that kind of sacrificial love is what God wants us to direct toward those around us, friend or enemy, but folks, especially toward our families. You can't do what I'm preaching unless you know my Jesus is your personal Savior. So whether you're listening via some technology or you're here before the preaching today, don't just know about my Jesus. Know him as your personal Savior. Then every day, get to know him better so you can be more like him, to do more for him, to bring glory and honor to his name. Folks, let's just be nice. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, you were challenged with a lot of principles and truths today, but I think you caught on to what God was pitching and throwing your direction. How is it in your home? Are you a new normal, bypassing what God has ordered up for all eternity? How is it in your personal walk with whatever relationship you're involved with? You're just a negative person. You have no concern about anything other than getting your stuff out there before you and straightening everybody else. You know what I've learned, folks? It takes a whole lifetime to keep myself straight, let alone everybody else. So maybe the conviction should go your direction, to say the least, and say, God, am I doing as God has ordered up? If not, I got good news. We have a forgiving God. He's looking to fix it, clean you up, and again, prepare you for the master's bidding if you just choose to do things God's way. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, again for this time of challenge. Lord, the invitation's been given. Folks know what you're looking for and what you, again, have ordered up. So I pray, dear Heavenly Father, you'll continue to bring conviction to our hearts. And Lord, help us again to respond in a favorable way unto you so we can be that fruitful, fit vessel, again, to do the blessed will and working of Almighty God. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.